First of all, happy Father's Day, everyone. Quick shout out to my dad. I love him. He's awesome. But so I imagine at some point or another, we have all had to work for someone or had a leader that maybe we didn't like very much, didn't really create that great of an atmosphere. So just imagine yourself in that position and then imagine that, say, maybe the leader that you're working for, they don't like, is switched out. But this time, the next guy that comes forth is worse than the last leader that you had. And then the same thing happens again, where it's switched out, and now this next leader is worse than the leader you had before that. And it just keeps going and going and going to the point where you reach, or he's just kind of borderline evil. This was the position that Elijah found himself in at this time during Israel. Just to give a little bit of background, after King Solomon died, stopped being king, King Jeroboam became king of Israel, and he did evil in the eyes of God, and kind of started this trend that just led down to the succession of kings that became worse and worse and worse, and each one of them doing more evil in the eyes of God than the last. It all culminated to King Ahab of Israel, who the Bible states in plain words in 1 Kings 16:30 that he did more evil in the eyes of the Lord than any of those before him. And just to give a little bit of context of what he did, he married a Phoenician princess and forged ties with the Sidonians and began to worship the pagan god Baal. So he pretty much drove Israel away from God. He set up an altar for Baal in the temple that he built in Samaria. And he also made these things called Asherah poles. And just to get back on Asherah, Asherah was considered to be the mistress of Baal at that time. So basically, there he was worshiping two idols at that point, the king of Israel. Just thought insult to injury, he considered it trivial to commit the sins of Jeroboam, who had rebelled against Solomon and brought and basically started Israel down this path of sin and turning away from God. King Ahab even rebuilt Jericho, which in the book of Joshua had been destroyed by Joshua and his army with the help of the Lord. And he rebuilt Jericho at the cost of his firstborn and his youngest son, just like the Lord said in the book of Joshua. And all these things kind of culminated together into bringing about God's anger and wrath. So, and at this time, the Israelites had also followed the king and began to worship Baal as well. And it's almost kind of a joke at this point for the Israelites to have turned away from God again. We hear they've done this, and it's like, add another tally mark to the number of times that they have turned away from God is not exactly something new. But then the question has to come up that why did they turn away from God? Why did they end up following and worshiping Baal at this point? And I believe the answer to that question would just be that because leaders set the atmosphere. They set the environment. They cultivate the environment. And this goes for both religious and non-religious leadership. To give some personal examples, a positive example of how a leader can affect an environment would just be in my experience with the Navy ROTC. In the Navy ROTC, we're divided into battalions, and each battalion gets an officer who is their advisor. And this officer can set the environment for the whole battalion, kind of like what they want. The battalion will reflect what the officer's attitude is. And when I first joined, the officer we had was very much cold and harsh and wasn't very relatable. And this reflected itself within the battalion. So we were last in most events, like competitive events that we had, and morale wasn't very high. But then, when his time came to switch out and continue on his career, we received a new officer, and he was very much more relatable and open. And it was like a switch had flipped. The environment of the battalion changed completely. We started doing much better in our competitive events. Morale was higher, it was a better mood, better atmosphere. He was a relatable person. While he was still stern, he didn't have a problem having a regular conversation while maintaining professionalism, of course, but it overall reflected into our performance. And now to give a negative example of this, that was a positive example of what a good leader can do for a group. Not to go on the opposite end of the spectrum. My family and I used to be Catholic. And in our first church, the pastor that we went to had a genuine God-given gift to unite people and get them excited about the Lord. It was very enthusiastic and kind of that very excitable atmosphere. People were always excited, and it was just celebrating a lot. But over time, we noticed that something was wrong. Something was different. And because pastor didn't have the same fire he used to, the church staff started acting differently. And then all of a sudden, almost all at once, without warning, the entire church just collapsed and everyone just dispersed. Like, the church just basically had just ceased to exist. Everything just fell apart quickly. It wasn't until later that we found out that the pastor and his staff had taken the tithes that we'd been giving to the church and had been using it to fund their own wealth and their own lifestyle. That the pastor had been cheating on his wife and sleeping with several different women, and I got some of them pregnant. And just to top it all off, instead of staying to face it, he fled back to Central America, just left the country. And the effect that had on us and our viewpoint of the church and us as a family, because we felt hurt and betrayed, and it was because of that we didn't end up going to church again for a couple, 7 years. Because we thought, if this is what it's like, then we want no part of this. And it wasn't until God sent another kind and compassionate leader who was able to reintroduce us to the church and show us that the church wasn't something to be afraid of. It wasn't all bad. But we learned that, yes, while there are bad apples here and there, the church as a whole, that's not what it's supposed to be. And because of that, we got reintroduced to the church. But then someone has to think, how many other people in that church felt the same way we did? How many people were pushed away from church and maybe pushed away from God because of the sinfulness of one person and how the sinfulness affected the entire church? I think we're very fortunate to have someone like her, like this elderly woman who came to talk to us and show us that that's not what it was, it's not what it's supposed to be. So from these stories, just understand that leaders have both a passive and active effect on their followers. And the way this ties in is that Israel at this time reflected the leaders that they currently had. With Israel suffering through 8 different compromised kings, all of which who committed evil in the eyes of God, the people reflected that. And this led to them started to worshiping different deities that wasn't God. Leaders, regardless of what position you're in, leaders are in a powerful position of authority and influence. And when they become compromised, they become dangerous. Extremely so. The reason why is because since if they become compromised and start kind of giving in to the sinful nature, they start to work against God. And that gives Satan a foothold. And Satan can use that to drive people away from God, just like the experience that my family had with our church, with our first church. He could use that to drive people away from God and paint churches in a bad light, or paint church leaders in a bad light and stuff like that, and cause wounds that might never be healed, but leave scars. I mean, I know that I'm still, it's something I still struggle with. And God has worked a lot in me in terms of healing those wounds caused by the first church we went into, and just trust issues and things like that. But it hasn't been an easy process. So one can only imagine what the other people who were also affected by this collapse also felt. And in general, when a leader like that has been compromised, it makes everyone under them more vulnerable. Kind of tying it into that saying, like, a dragon without its head cannot stand. No matter how good the other parts of the organization might be, they could be working perfectly, but if the head of this organization has been compromised, everything can fall apart. And this view of leaders can be applied as large as, say, global leadership, like global leaders, or can be applied to organizations as small as, to say, the leaders here at Ablaze. So then the question comes, what can we as leaders and followers do, and how does it relate to now? Well, currently, it's a tumultuous time. COVID-19 continues to spread, and there are more signs than ever that there exists a frightening amount of compromised leadership. And especially for us in the church, while we're still able to meet through Zoom and through technology like this, we've become divided and separated by distance, which leaves us in a vulnerable position to being distracted and led astray. And this is where Elijah's example comes in. He had to experience the effects firsthand of having to suffer through Israel, going through so many different kings who were all committing evil acts in the eyes of the Lord. But despite everything going on, he maintained a strong faith in the Lord. And through Elijah, God brought about a long drought, which caused a famine in Israel because of what Ahab was doing. And when Ahab became angry and came for Elijah, God told Elijah to hide, and that he would come provide food for him from using ravens. And without question, Elijah did it. I don't know about you guys, but if God came and told me, hey, go hide here, and I'll have birds bring you food, I would kind of be a little weirded out, kind of question it a bit, like, okay. But Elijah did it without question. And eventually this would lead up to Elijah proving to the people of Israel that God is the one true living God. He held a competition of sorts with the other prophets of Baal, where they collected each other a pile of wood, and whoever God was the one true living God would light the fire, would light the pile of wood on fire. And the prophets of Baal, while they tried a lot, they couldn't get their fire to light. And at this point, Elijah just kind of started mocking them, just taunting them. Like, oh yeah, I'm sure your God's asleep or something. I'm sure he's out traveling, or maybe he just can't hear you right now. And as a result, he was like, all right, guys, my turn. And he proceeded to dump about 12 large jarfuls of water on his pile. And God lit the pile of wood and proceeded to prove everyone that he was the one true living God. Although it didn't last permanently, as Elijah still had to flee because the king Ahab, of course, was still angry. And as a result of this, Elijah was kind of forced to have a moment of self-reflection when he fled to Horeb, which was the mountain of God, where he hid. Because after Elijah had done this, the king had killed off the rest of the prophets of the Lord. And Elijah felt guilt. He felt that he'd been too overzealous, because the people had, even despite the test that they had put them through, the rest of the prophets were dead and he was the last one. But what we can learn from what Elijah has done and what he did in the Lord's name is that self-evaluation and drawing closer to God's word is important. When someone, in a regular situation, when someone knows they're going to be in a vulnerable position, the reaction is to build up more protection. This is the same way you can treat God's word. If you know that you're going to be in a vulnerable time or vulnerable position, God's word can help build up protection against an environment where you might be prone to being more vulnerable. And it takes a certain amount of humility to lay yourself in front of God and just ask him and self-reflect and ask him, where am I faltering? Especially as leaders. There's always room for improvement somewhere. And it's especially important for leaders because oftentimes they can forget or not realize the huge impact they have on big groups. People take their words with more weight. People look to them as an example. So, at least as leaders here at Ablaze, it is important to remember that, to be humble and lay yourself before the Lord, just ask him, where am I faltering? And that ties into this week's memory verse, which is Psalms 139, 23 through 24. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Which is a submissive act before God. But the reality is that leaders still go astray, but there are also ways for them to be held accountable. And then the question becomes, how do we hold leaders accountable while still abiding by God's command to honor authority? Because he's the one who placed them in authority. And in a lot of cases, there's a system that people can go through in order to dealing with or reporting or dealing with an issue with a compromised leader. And a great example of this is here at Ablaze. Our elders here at Ablaze need to go through a whole reaffirmation process that involves Ablaze's board and the entire congregation. Issues with the elder can be brought up here and addressed, and this ensures that everyone is okay with them continuing to be the elder and that they've fulfilled certain criteria to continue doing their job. Same thing goes for pastors and leaders. Pastors and other leaders here at Ablaze need to undergo an annual review, where they're also evaluated under certain criteria that they must meet. And just as a reminder for the congregation of Ablaze, there are procedures put in place to address inappropriate behavior or things like that. There are certain procedures put in place to deal with that sort of things to hold our leaders accountable. And this can be found in many different organizations. The core has procedures like this. Oftentimes, if you have a problem with your current leader, you go to the next person above them. Talk to them to deal with a problem you might have with your leader. So there's always usually some sort of system you can go through. Now, even with that whole system and all those things that might be put into place, corruption is still very much a thing. Corruption still exists, and you might try going through the system and nothing seems to work or be addressed, so what do you do now? Well, when faced with a situation like that, go through God's system. God has placed those people in authority and will thus hold them accountable. But the tough part is having to trust God through it. That can be a difficult thing to have to go through. Of course, if it's an extremely toxic environment, obviously try to find a way out of it if it's having such a negative impact on you. Where you don't feel like you can handle it, trust God to carry you through it and consult with other people who you trust and care about in order to take next steps. But above all else, if you find yourself in this position where you can't have a leader be held accountable, at least here on earth, trust that God will hold them accountable his way. Ahab did not go unpunished by God. That much is very much clear in the story of his rule with Elijah. God brought about the drought. brought other several other hardships to his kingdom, and then at the end, Ahab was killed in battle. In speaking from someone who has personal experience with this, it can be hard not to want to seek revenge or to stay angry about something if things don't go your way. But there is a reason that God tells us that it is not ours to avenge. In Romans 12:19, he says, leave room for God's wrath. It's his to avenge. He will avenge it. And it goes past more than just, you shouldn't do this because I said so, or you shouldn't be angry, you know, love upon your enemy, but because God knows that staying in anger and seeking revenge is essentially equivalent to poisoning ourselves. One of the biggest problems I faced when I first came to a blaze that I carried hatred for someone for years. And carrying around that much anger and hatred, at least subconsciously for that long, is basically equivalent to walking around with lead inside your body. You don't realize how much heavier you become or how you're affected or how much your growth is stunted like that. And when I finally got past it, it was like a huge weight had been lifted off of me, because I decided to hand my anger and hatred over to God and let him address it, let him deal with it, give it to someone who can carry it. And God's perfectly capable of doing that for us. And above all else, well, not above all else, I think handing any feelings you might have over to God is very important. But if you find yourself in a position where you're dealing with a leader that isn't doing good things and committing evil in God's eyes, and you can't find a way to do it, to deal with it via the system, something that the military always tells us is that figure out what you can learn from that leader. Because there's always something to learn, even from bad leaders. Bad leaders always provide something good to learn, because then you know, I don't want to do that. When I become a leader of some sort of position, I'm going to do things differently than that. Something to watch out for. Something to avoid. So, I'll leave it with this. For both leaders and followers, but especially for leaders, because they have a huge impact on the overall environment, vision of the church, and just in other organizations in general. Where are you faltering? We humans are sinful in nature. There is always room for improvement somewhere. Have the humility to submit yourself before God and just ask him, yeah, where am I doing something wrong? Something that might be having an effect on the rest of the organization I'm leading. And God will answer. I've had many times where I've done that, and God has pointed stuff out to me that I need to work on. So that's what I leave you guys with. All right, let's pray then. God, we thank you that you're able to provide us with Elijah's example, and that you're able to gather us all here today. And while times are difficult and we're put in vulnerable positions, just help us have faith and trust in you that will be able to carry us through it. And that we trust you that you can hold leaders accountable, and that we have the wisdom to know where we can go about promoting change and us having us hold leaders accountable where we can. And I ask that you continue to help us build up protection against the vulnerabilities that we might be facing. In your name we pray. Amen.